episode of Adventures into Reality. Welcome everyone that's hanging out in the GH chat room at gh.com/live. We are nicknaming that the Litter Box. I want to say hi to everyone in the chat room, and I want to welcome Debbie, my intrepid co-host. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. It has been a bright and sunshiny day, and I've been up since early in the morning getting a lot of work done. And it's been that work that we all have to do in winter. It's not just plowing the snow and moving the stuff around. It's your own physical dreaming energies. We all have those moments in our life where we wrestle with spiritual concepts that are constantly coming to and from us. In other scenarios, they're deep into other personalities. But this is that time of the year where we let go of the wrestling job, that is the system of domination and control, and allow ourselves to be at a much higher rate of observance, much higher rate of beingness. And this is that time where we have to make the hard choices about what we allow in our life. I can't tell you how many questions that I've gotten about the remote viewing. You know, people that were even afraid to try. You cannot let fear in your life. You cannot let things in your life that take away from the great and wonderful abundant you, from seizing what is your own abundant you. You are the ones that are the power, and the time is now for you to use that power. You have earned that right. And these are the times in the deep parts of the winter where we remind ourselves what we have earned, what we have done over this previous long, hard year. Soon we're coming up to Chinese New Year. That is another expression of New Year. A little over a month ago, we just had a New Year for that of the expression of American time. And here we are, two expressions of time drawing us back and forth, the East versus the West. And people have been saying, what's going on in our world right now? The energies of the East and the energies of the West are at a tug of war. And whatever ancestral energies you still have in your physical and spiritual bodies are also having the tug of war, where the expression and perception of the East and the expression and perception of the West are at zealous odds and are fully tugging on each other in this great spiritual tug of war of what polarity you will fall into, what polarity will you allow deceptions to alter your perceptions. When at each step of the game, we don't need to be in polarity. We don't need to be having a tug of war. We can simply be ourselves with that which is around us, the great pine trees or the fir trees or the beekeepers. Even the great mountains created by man called apartment buildings can be made sacred when one makes that positive, affirmed, sovereign choice to no longer allow tacit consent to guide their life and spiritual programs. That may seem like a mouthful, but it is simple as living in nature. It is as simple as allowing yourself to be fulfilled each day, to allow the seeds of plenty to be grown in your manifest destiny. You are the one that can do anything when you allow decisions through your life. When you allow your friends and family to be a part of your council of life, your council of decision, so that the truth is your protection at all layers, dimensions, time streams, galaxies, and universe. The truth of your soul, the truth of who you are, the truth of your birth, that it was not a traumatic event that has led you away from prayer and inner peace. Your birth is the moment of inner peace. I speak about the sacred feminine womb. Inside that zero point of the fetus, when you are just a heart without a brain, that's what you started as in the womb. And then your spiritual spark created a soul that came into that heart that was shared with the DNA of your mother and father. And the miracle creation began. And now great mysteries plan is how do you, that conscious being who's growing to two arms, two legs, a brain, loves and losses, how will great mystery interact with you, with the great spiritual contract system that is universal wide? Will you adhere to karma? Will you follow something different? Will you come into this world in a great and wonderful way? Or will you find fear, anger, depression, regression, obsession, and unable to reflect upon your own life? When you can't reflect upon your own life, you have no goals. You are unable to see the internal expression of who you are. this time of February is where you allow your own light, your own intuition to fill your heart, to fill your body, to fill your mind. And it's not about sharing this light with anyone else. It is about nurturing it inside yourself, like an ember of coals that you are when you're outside freezing. And this one ember is going to keep you alive, because this is the depths of winter, the depths where prayers and inner peace have to go to our deepest levels of knowingness. We have to let knowingness come forward. If you are unable to let knowingness come forward, you will have no cycle. You will have no movement. You will be in stasis, unable to change. We human beings are not meant to not ever be changed. We are change incarnate. We are everything that we could possibly be when we allow the victories of our lives to be victories of our lives. When we allow the counting coup, that is that ceremony, that indigenous ceremony that says, yes, you have victories, and you must act those victories once per year. Say what it is you've done. Say you conquered your sixth grade fear of a bully that beat you up and caused horrible dreams because you made a choice in your physical life at age 35 to go back into your mind and to take that fear out, because it is your body, it is your mind, it is your spirit. We cannot allow the reflections of others to be impressed into us. That is what our mothers and fathers do in unknowingness. And in unknowingness, we must have the new form of self-reflection. So unknowingness goes through transformation and becomes knowingness. Knowingness means we don't have vision. We just know, with all sorts of other things that give endless level layers of confirmation. So illumination and clarity is as easy as a yawn, okay? From non-illumination to illumination. Ooh. You brought in that new energy. You brought in that new spark. You brought in that new flavor. And you allowed yourself to have your own spiritual allies inside yourself. Those are those other versions of yourself, the angelic beings that are you, that are there to protect you. But you must communicate to them. You must support them. This is why offerings to the ancestors is so vitally important. They are you. They are your seven future generations. You cannot exist without them, and they cannot exist without you. Finding something in your life space, in your lifetime, like it's an apple being left for them or something that you've created with your own two hands. In the number of other shows, I gave different ways for helping people to go to even a deeper and ancestral connection. This time of year, when the snow is great and the winds are strong and the ice beams are rippling at all of the little creatures of the world, you human beings out there can go and build something as simple as a small bird's nest with three little pieces of wood shaped in a triangle. There's all sorts of things that you can do that make nests for other animals who have lost their nest because of the great winter storms and the ice that's coming. It also provides them protection when they're searching for food. That is how you are adding your spark mix to the great wonder and miracle of life. So for those people out there that are doers, find something in your garage that a bird can use as a shelter during a great winter storm or during a rain that they can raise their young in. And you bless it with that energy, and you go put it high in the trees where no animals can get to it, where you put it where those birds normally are. Because that's your gift if you choose to give it to them. And then you just gave sacred space to those brand new beings, and you've given respect to their seven future generations. It's your birthright to do that. It's your birthright to know the burden baskets that are also not yours, that you've taken from other people and other places, or people have put into your own burden basket. Look in the burdens that weigh you down. Say, why? Why does the martyr me hold on to them? Why is it there? Why can't I let it go? Why can't we let it be? What is it that's gnawing at the sinews of my soul that I can't let something go? It's ultimately because you don't have vision that's leading you out to the quest of thirst of knowledge, to that great and wonderful hope that is you, by allowing the quest of vision to have equal heart space versus paying the credit cards or doing anything else in your life. You give it that equal chance of co-creative vision, And what you will discover is the most powerful and wonderful form of healing you can give yourself. You will find the ancient healing bowls that you sipped out of when you were young, as a young spirit early on earth. Or you'll find your own way to create your own bowl, your own way of saying healing is yours, whenever you choose it. It is your birthright to tell your story. It is your birthright to have the biggest expansion of your life from your own expression. Allow the wisdom and gratitude of all four directions into your life, and the whole new layer of rites of passage are all yours, where you can have the shaman's death, that is letting go of all the things that held you back from having your own full co-creative vision, so that ultimately your soul is purified of the dense energy underwear we're all living in, and the women can once again experience their menstrual cycle without anything influencing them. That's my view of the world. That's not a rant. That is a heart-based love action that I am helping people to get deeper and deeper into. I want people to have these very same skills that I have. I want there to be a massive, massive army of Akashic Record readers. I don't want to be just me. I wanted everyone else to have it. Why? Because it's our inherent birthright. No longer the great secrets held by the eye at the top of the pyramid.
Andrew, that is so inspiring. It's so beautiful. It's so heartfelt. And, it's so inspiring to me, especially at this time with what we're going through with this planet and the evolution of the energies that is coming up. And I feel that the energies, because the frequency and the consciousness is raising, it also brings up all the unfinished hidden things that are inside us. And this is time to reflect. This is why winter is such a wonderful blessing for us, to go within and to reflect on our life and what we can do to change it, or to make it better, or make it better for other people in our lives. I find it so important. And that's why there's so many great modalities, because if you're struggling with any issues, there's so many people out there that can help. And that's why I love the work that I do, because I know that I can get people to their core issue, to release that so that they can get back into their heart space and get back into balance. And so I thank you, Andrew, for sharing that.
You're welcome. And I know there's going to be a lot of people that go out and go back and listen to that. That was off the cuff. That was as much raw me in the Akashic Record as it gets. People have heard me say before that I can see a show before it happens. I get a synopsis of it. And I knew right away that the synopsis was asking me to start at this highest frequency, in this highest way, to look right at that screen and say, hello, wink at you. Now is our time. Now is our time to reveal our great, wonderful history. So, Debbie, you have some questions and we have some topics we're going to talk about. You right now have the Akashic Record of 20,000 worlds open to you, not just Debbie, but everyone in the audience, increasing the great, wonderful potential of a community in truth, unity, in perpetuity.
Andrew, I was wondering, you hadn't discussed this but once before about the color of time, and I think I didn't really get it at that time, so I'd really appreciate if you could talk more about the color of time.
The color of time. We perceive time on a clock, on the face of a clock, as 1 through 12 that are in expressed Roman numerals. Even those of the Orient still use this Roman numeral clock because they've fallen under that hierarchical order of description of time. Time is not numbers on a clock. Time is the rotation and balance of season and stars combined and compressed into the soul spark that's in a fetus that's growing through a cycle. A cycle is not 1 year. A cycle is a stage of experiences where one has resolved karma or no longer used karma as an expression. There are two scales to time, the planetary time, the galactic time. And then the third scale is the universal time. When one looks at galactic time, we see the seven colors. When one is in this human fraud time, we are stuck in the infrared color of expression. The other six parts of the energy body of the seven chakras are also stuck in that. But it is those other chakra points that determine how time goes through perception, or deception, till it raises to the highest heart of our crown chakra, where our spirit, which is refueling our soul, so that the infinite soul doesn't believe that it's finite. Time is how our spirit, the infinite non-time experiencing expression, comes into the colored expression of this world and says red is the infrared time, the astral time, where dead is exchanged and expressed, the orange section of the sacrum. That is how our spiritual expression goes to other dimensions, time streams, galaxies, and universes, and calibrates to the time in other colored expressions of dimensions. Then we go to our solar plexus, where this is the energy that must interact with this matrix combined with all of our other spiritual skills who are trying to resolve goals, plans, ideas, dreams, to have the great synchronistic meeting so one can go deep into the future. And then we come to heart, the green color, the heart that helps us look for our soul shards that are locked outside of time or confused on what time even is. Then our throat. That's how we get to talk to all dimensions, time streams, galaxies, and universe, and see how each wave of voice, each focus of sound goes forward through this holographic universe where matter doesn't even exist unless we believe that it exists. Now we get to our third eye. It's how we perceive time. But it is also where the center of the perception and deception filters exist for us. Think of an hourglass. The third eye is the tiniest point of that hourglass. The crown chakra is the infinite energy, giving infinite amounts of sand to go into that little micro point flow through so that the third eye can do what it does with the infinite creation energy above it and the finite co-creation below it. Creation, we get back to our infinite soul and allow time to be expressed and perceived on all colors without perception, deception filters influencing the emotion of time. Think of how easily memories can be altered just by changing 1 second of one day.
Right.
A color of a memory suddenly was a different color. Or if that moment where you are in the greatest passionate love embrace with your child, that the color isn't green. The color of that time isn't green. It would have stolen that raw, emotional, connective time experience energy that's telling you you have just achieved victory as a being that's energy in frog time. Because your light body is light, is color, separated into the prisms of experience here with 9 spiritual bodies traveling throughout the multiverse in different stages of time. And our third eye is what calibrates us to all our other soul pieces out there doing things. Color is everything. Without color, we have nothing, even time.
That was so well explained, Andrew. I know that a lot of people that I know had some difficulty understanding it the first time around, and you've made it so understandable and very helpful to work through. I've got another question for you. It's in regards to the laws of the number 3. I've noticed that in the different sacred sites that I've been to, the number 3 has been very prevalent. And also, I was watching the Ancient Alien series the other night and was talking about Nikola Tesla was absolutely obsessed with the number 3. So I was just wondering what number 3 held in the spiritual realm or in the understanding of what we need to know.
First, the number 3 is 1 greater than 2. The number 2 is what we, in a universe that was non-free-willed, was started with. 2 choices, polarity, but nothing in between. The third represents the balance, where yes and no has nor, and or nor. In an engineering expression, it's a gate that can be opened or closed. In threes, you have multiple gates that can be opened and closed and create the first soul cipher. Soul ciphers allow us to determine how multidimensional we want to be. Am I 3 beings Andrew now, or am I 27 beings Andrew now? Am I my 9 spiritual bodies times by 3 different expressions in each colors of expression? Because I have full control over who I am, what I am, and all dimensions, galaxies, time streams, and universe, because I've declared my sovereignty. Sovereignty does have three parts to it. You in fraud time, you that will not be in fraud time, and then that you is going to go to a brand new expression of time that isn't Earth. And it's in your destiny, because the only way for you to truly calibrate to the greater universal time is to have time in another place that counts time and experience time differently. And then number three, that's how we separate ourselves. That's how we come to the grand trireme of experience, where all these different spiritual energies from different parts of the galaxies and universe intersect into the grand trireme of who you are, what you are, what you're expressing. And that numerology of three will be manifested all throughout your reality. Me, one of the numbers that's very, very special to me is 303. That is the number that Neo saw on the door in the first Matrix before he got his last call to get out. I'd like people to look at that corner of Wabash and Lake, room 303, an extremely important part to the movie where he experienced reality fraud death and created life through that reality fraud death. And we are in that metaphorical moment of room 303 on the corner of Wabash and Lake. On the other side of that door is an agent that has no power over you. It is only there to whisper you into some scam so that you give tacit consent away, because it will never truly act with its own energy. It will always use your energy against you, your belief against you. That's why the number of three can be sent back of those that are trying to influence you. That is the law of three, the true balance between the two polarities, the sacred mutual expression.
I also know that, you know, some of the modalities that I got involved in or mystery schools where they say you need to affirm something three times in order for it to actually, you know, take effect. So that was one of the things too that I was wondering about.
No.
When you're talking about now the three realities.
When you're saying you got to say something three times, that's good practice, but it's still belief.
Right.
So if you in your mind three times 93, or in my mind when I'm doing my energy healing and I'm using symbols or whatever, I go in symbols and patterns. I could go from anywhere from 1, 2 to 12 to 9 million or an infinite amount of energy. And when we use numbers and patterns and numbers and allow those ciphers to create the infinite connection that our third eye has to our crown chakra, when we are healers, we can open incredible avenues of energy that don't share our energy field, but are a part of our co-created healing experience. And that is, again, the law of three, stepping up the scale and energy and spark of experience so that an action of manifestation can be done.
Well, that's a really eloquent way of expressing that, Andrew, because, you know, it's something that's always been in the back of my mind, and I'm sure a lot of other people had that, you know, question hanging there too. And another thing too was that I found really interesting when I was watching the Ancient Alien series, the sacred sites that they show, all the different sacred sites, and I've been to a lot of those sacred sites myself. And I'm just wondering, you know, I saw a lot of portals opening and nearly every one of them have portals everywhere. I'm just wondering what a lot of these sacred sites' purposes are now, because they've managed to stay through time very protected.
Well, sacred sites that have lasted the way they've lasted and exist here in the now mean that they exist in the other paradoxes. It was a way to have an anchor in each paradox so you can go from one to the other to the other to the other in a multidimensional way, experience each paradox separately and simultaneously if one chooses. Each sacred site now has not just one purpose, but five different purposes on the five different expressed paradox timelines that we have. Example, something like Tiwanaku, Machu Picchu, the Giza Pyramids. They're a part of a grid system over a series of nexus points that were created about 585,000 years ago. But that's not what they were originally created for. They're all originally created for part of the fortification of the astral system, so it becomes very hard to immigrate here without ancestral connection. It becomes very hard for you to physically travel here in a space vessel without the solar clothes so that you can get through the great separation of where we exist as a paradox solar system with 66 planets phased throughout 66 expressions of fraud time. So to find this place within 66 layers of fraud time in a paradox in a universe is beyond the needle and stack of needles and stack of haystacks. It's the most improbable paradoxical expression, and only the resolution and retribution of karma through DNA will one arrive here in the now. And those sacred sites are the medium on this matrix world to exchange from one dimension paradox to the other dimension paradox, those that are in karmic debt, and the retribution for them is to come upon the other side. These are portals that take you back and forth. In other expressions, the remnants of what is left over, like Machu Picchu, has become a great tourist thing. It is attracting people who lived there many thousands or millions of years ago, who have gone through the great expression of what that mountain expression is, through the great sacred Puma clans that existed down there, and the great snake clans. The Red Puma clan was very, very powerful because they understood what fraud red time was, and they allowed themselves to transit fraud red time, not in their DNA lineage bodies, but connected through their sacred sites. So one could be in the top of Tiwanaku and know how to use the machine of spirituality and fraud time there and appear in the fraud time of another sacred space and another expression of paradox. 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, didn't matter, your choice of where you were going, because you were charting a goal so that you had all 66 expressions of fraud time here on Earth so you could unlock universal expression in your heart space. That's why they're called sacred spaces. They're ultimately the cipher to the greater expression of what we are as a species. They have many micro meanings too, like Puma Punku, the great H-blocks that were created there. As I've described, that was a massive vault. I've said this in many other shows. It held powerful, powerful cosmic energies that were being used to alter the DNA light bodies of personalities at that time that had a different expression of the archons. Okay, they were there to filter out the negative beings and allow the highest light beings a mass migration here. When Puma Punku was destroyed on one timeline, it had multiple effects on other timelines, dimensions, and in other galaxies, because it was a portal that was taking cosmic energies from many other places and focusing it into a spiritual crucible that could take lower density light entities and rapidly increase their density so they could breed with a population that was human lower density and have higher density babies and an offspring that other beings can come into, manipulate, use, or do whatever for purpose in that fraud time expression. On top of all those layers is the local cultures that adapted a belief system that says it's the snake, it's the puma, it's the sun god Anu, Antu, the Babylonia expression. That is the fraud time, human mind, I am presence in unknowingness and unawareness, identifying that as a god through belief system that they will take through generational expressions. This is why only a certain number of sacred spaces have survived to this point, because if more had, the system of domination and control would not be able to control how fast our awakenings were.
I've noticed that a lot of these sacred sites now are roped off, especially up to the sacred temples and things like that, where the energy is a lot higher. And probably for that very reason is because of the domination and control, and they don't want the people to wake up. So I just find that, you know, it's really quite frustrating when you go to these sites expecting to be able to go into these temples, and now that, you know, quite a few of them are closed off.
Yeah, not only are they closed off, you're not allowed to pray there anymore. And many, many, many of them, they don't want you doing that. And some of it is reverse racism, and other parts of it is just, they don't want people praying there because they're going to start dumping all of their junk there too, and somebody's going to eventually have to clean it up. See, those sacred sites change and alter and move energy, but when you have 3,000 people a week going through a place and 30 of them are having the greatest spiritual experiences and releasing entities from themselves, what do you think is going to happen to that sacred place? But that is, again, by design, so that when other people do come to sacred spaces, there's a lot of entities there, and they don't get their awakening that they should have when they went on the great tour to Giza or whatever.
Yeah, I noticed that there's a lot of spiritual groups get drawn to these places, and they feel that they've got to do some cleansing energy work there. And that's probably why, because there's thousands and thousands of tourists every year travel to these places, like you say, and probably carrying a lot of their baggage with them. And so I know that there's a lot of light workers out there that feel very pulled to go and clear energies constantly into these different places.
And then there are those places that have another additional red expression of energy of the great destruction that happened there, like at Giza. Why did all the casing came down? Because the whole thing blew up in a spiritual psychic bomb that killed millions of people within the transvesting area. The same thing with Pumapunku and Tiwanaku. Great disasters. Millions died. That is also something that still exists deep into the penetrator of those stone people that are the eight blocks at Pumapunku, or the Temple of the Great Eagle, or the Temple of the Sun in Mexico. Millions of people were sacrificed there through false belief systems to give energy to the Archon system that was coming to create the great Columbus times. That's still it.
I was just wondering.
That was all the great and powerful healing ceremonies. We just have to have the knowingness to not attach to the red and to allow the green expression of time to give us the synopsis of the place.
Yeah, it's really to tune into the right use of the energy there instead of dumping the energy there. I noticed also in Giza, they were talking about that the main passageways in Giza and in the pyramid, they were lined with large crystals all through the passageways. I was just wondering what their purpose was.
Well, it's not just Giza. Pyramid of the Sun in Mexico, all of the underground chambers were lined with mica. And if anybody knows anything about mica, it creates an electrical field when it's under current, and it can act like circuitry. The Pyramid of Giza and the Pyramid of the Sun are massive pieces of stone circuitry that create a psychic circuitry board that is something in the shape of a pyramid that has all these other buildings around it that create an alchemical process of converting energy into physical matter or physical matter back into energy. And that is what these crystalline tubes and alignment of mica that is spread all throughout the different great sacred sites. It is that circuit part that connects to some other piece of technology that alters dimensions, time streams, galaxies, universe, created through the technology, and finished products came out of the machine that was like a prototyping machine that everyone had. There is no wait. There's no machine long wait for it. It's instant for us. That is why those buildings that were great and giant sacred places like Sacsayhuaman were built so fast. Because for them, it was like Legos. It was simple. It was the materials that were there for them to build. Something that they knew ultimately was going to go through a major expression called timeline genocide. And that the ancestors would be lost. And those stones alone would hold the only memories that us in unknowingness with Swiss cheese soul minds will ever even have a spark of remembering. Wow, I remember those eight blocks of Pumapunku. We can't have that because it was so destroyed in our expression through the going through the birth canal of the forgettingness, where we need to see them complete. Or complete them once again in our mind so that they can once again be sacred and not just a place to go and visit.
So, Andrew, those H blocks there that you're talking about, were they a building structure in that shape? Because I was wondering what the H, why H?
Because that is something that they could cut and build rapidly in anywhere that they wanted to go. They fit together in a special format. And all those little holes that you see in them are where crystals are placed. Okay? Those H blocks would make a massive dome. And the dome on the inside and the outside would have those receded holes in it. And the inside and outside holes would have crystals, one that's taking in the cosmic energy from the universe and the other that's coalescing it and keeping it inside a paradox in 66 expressions of time, So that quintessential universal light expression was only given to the light bodies that they wanted.
Well, that's fascinating. I always wondered about that.
It's also, a massive genetic infrastructure, as well as a vault for many other expressions of, how do I put this, light body DNA and programming. Like, there's certain types of light body DNA and program that is very beneficial to people learning. And there are others that, when it's used improperly, creates what we are now. And Pumapunku was a place that light body information was stored in a massive psychic network. In each H block was like a tiny little groove on a massive hard drive that was gigantic. So it stored the universal expression of light body programming in it, which made it one of the most high-valued targets out there. It is DNA that ultimately determines how powerful our experience is in a reality.
So is that why that site is not really kept solid? Because I noticed that it's pretty well spread out everywhere.
Oh, it's a massive facility. It goes on for many more kilometers and is under the water at Lake Tiwanaku. If you remove about 30 feet of dirt right now, you'll get down to something that's like the great expressions that they've uncovered in Turkey and in Egypt and in Rome and all of those other places. Massive. It was a port that could have 2,000 massive vessels at it. It was center of light body exchange networks during the pre-Anunnaki times, and then the Anunnaki came in and found the way in 32 parts of the light expression of time and the 66 planets of time, and began conquering or attempting to conquer individual parts in the 66, but ultimately got entwined into galactic genocide, timeline genocide, until finally they were involved and became the force of retributing truth that brought souls from other places, dimension, time streams, galaxies, and universes that had debt that needed to be repaid to Earth, or Earth that needed to repay debt to them. And since Earth has been a paradox and is separate of the spiritual exchange system, it required those beings to be used in a scenario of retribution, such as the Anunnaki, the Mofar, the Ayaganda, many, many others who came into our world and invaded us. And guess what? They're often here at the exact same moment in fraud time, but never saw each other, because each being came with a different expression of time. And that's the great wonder of Earth. And all those other beings that are holding this quarantine field around us now understand that you could have 200 people in the Asian continent reaching out to one part of the universe and bringing people back and not knowing it, or you can have an entire continent of people in America who are resolving the karma of patriotism for not just this world, but millions of other worlds, because we are so linked to all of them.
So the civilization that existed there at that time was multiple different ones from different planets, then, you're saying, or different dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we think these civilizations just disappear.
They did.
Because there's no trace.
They faded out. Their people faded out of time and went into a different color expression of time, because their consciousness and knowingness didn't want them to entangle with how the system of domination and control was going to take over all the different local bubbles of time expression and conquer them each one individually with the Roman numeral clock.
Right. Is that the same sort of thing that happened on Easter Island?
No. Easter Island is a whole different expression. It is... You had a time where the great destructions of Earth were not just happening on one dimension or time stream, it was happening on all of them. It was the worst of the worst times. And in that particular Easter Island expression that has survived to now, at the very end of it, what was left was people with great and powerful technologies of the mind, but they had nothing. They didn't know how to eat off the land anymore. They didn't know how to swim in the ocean without technology. And they had to go feral for a while and be able to create a way of verbally expressing to their ancestors that they were much greater. And they went, many hundreds of different expressions that had survived that began the journey to Easter Island to find a place that had not been ruined by the time wars on Earth. And that is ultimately what Easter Island represents, the hundreds of different cultures who found a place that hadn't been mutilated by timeline genocide. And they began to build the Moai there to be the silent watchers of the sky beings who were coming here to abuse our time or to use our time normally, to also tell the ancestors that we were a greater people and that you too can create these for your future ancestors. But you have to know how we did it, why we did it, and ultimately what you will do with that knowledge.
So is the Moai a reflection of what they looked like at that time, on the Moai?
They had much bigger heads. They were different expressions of long skulls at the time. Human beings didn't look like we do now. Though there were human beings who look like us now, there were not a single, the seven color expression that we are, we're human beings now, the five races, you'd have 50, 80, 200 different races of human being. Some with gills, some with wings, some that were anthropomorphs, some that were giants, some that were shapeshifters, because the reality hadn't been molded by domination and control so that everyone gave away all of their power to tacit consent.
Okay. Andrew, I can see a really relevant question that's come up from the chat room, and it's a question here asking, would doing artwork of the sacred sites in their prime expression help anchor in those energies again?
If you were at the place and connecting to the nature and trying to draw what the place looks like in your spiritual mind or a spiritual expression of it, it can begin to do a lot of great good because of the raw creative power that you have. And when you tone down your empathic skills so you don't have to connect into the great destructions or even the great joys that have happened there, you allow yourself again once to see the neutral expression that the stones of those places are telling you, so an accurate depiction of manifestation occurs between the medium that is your body and hands and the artwork versus your soul spark that's intuiting something in that sacred space. Because there might be a private message for you that may be ultimately a private message for millions in the future.
That makes a lot of sense. That's really interesting. Andrew, when I was up in Machu Picchu with one of the Peruvian guides, actually, and we're looking out over a part of the valley, and there was a lot of jungle there. And my husband actually asked him the question, you know, is there any more sacred sites down in those valleys? And he said that people had tried to go into that area and disappeared. They never came out again. And people would go in searching for them and disappear, never come out. They sent police in there. They disappeared. They actually sent an army in there, and they all disappeared. Do you have any answers for that?
Yeah, they're called a Daba. And what it is, it's a portal that opens one way. So that means another expression of that sacred site is in karmic negative balance, and it must immediately balance itself, or it can no longer be an anchor in time. It opens up a one-way portal to itself in another expression, time, stream, galaxy, and universe, and then pulls through people that have the karmic to balance that place. So ultimately, it's a one-way portal that brings people to some other expression of that sacred space in some other timeline paradox. And yes, this happens at many, many sacred spaces. When the moon is high, when the emotions of the planet are high, they open up. Or if a sacred space is in great degradation in one particular point, and it needs the balance of a human being energy to be aware of what it was before it faded from human existence, then that space will bring an observer physically there so that it maintains its anchorage in time.
Wow, that's fascinating. Andrew, also, there's a question that's come up on the chat here. We're talking about reflecting into the past, and somebody's asking the question, but what about us and our future? It's good to reflect on the past, but what is on the agenda for us today? And, you know, our past does affect us on our agenda today. And so if we've got unhealed issues that are running our agenda today, I feel that we need to address those past issues in order for this present day and our future to be more positive, and we can walk into that in a much more positive way.
Mm-hmm. Well, part of the soliloquy at the opening was to set up for this very question that you're asking right now, how energies affect us, how things affect us, and how we have to make those obvious, desperate choices to let go. And I use the word desperate because sometimes we desperately hold on to them because it's completing some circuitry of karma in us that we may like at some other expression of ourselves. But it is the now being that has to make the choices of now. You know, one of the things that we see going on in Truth or News is this big alert that the quarantine field is coming down, the big alert that this is going to happen and that's going to happen. I'm a being that's going to continue to say, nothing's going to happen until you make it happen. The aliens will not come down and land and open our world up. It'll be us that does it. Through the dream world, through the expressions of deja vu that make us question our own reality and awaken as individual sovereign beings not given tacit consent to a media system that's trying to define our generational knowledge in clips and television and in media. Ultimately, it's us who manifests our future selves, and we must live now so that those future beings can have anchorage to co-create with us in the present. Once we've given ourselves enough anchorage in the now, those future beings who come to give us dream visitations or come and help us find aligned deja vus so that we could see that we are a much bigger being in scope. We must allow that rite of passage so that your scope of vision of the now helps you let go of the dense energy that's around your heart, that's around your mind, that's around your sexual organs, so that you can be free of the density that holds you in infrared fraud time expression as a being of karmic retribution or karmic debt receiving. You need not be any of those in any place or any expression of you. It is your own belief system of manifestation that brings the signature frequency teachings to you of karma all the time. And when one chooses to change your signature frequency of karma affects you, your perception of how it affects this world changes. Where you may look upon those blog that has the 9 different messages from 5 different people spread over a period of a week, and it's only that blog that's giving you your information. That's wrong. Go out and see so much more. Stop worrying what's happening in the BRICS alliance. It's going to fall apart and nothing's going to happen. Stop worrying about what the news media is going to do and go and learn what the 2 words cyclical hibernation means. Don't worry about the next Gaia message or the next channeled message of this from the Pleiadians or that from the butt-sniffing clans. All of them out there are an expression of the mind, and the expression of the mind isn't manifesting things with your own 2 hands connected to your mind. And this is the now, where that cyclical hibernation, where you're in your dream world and you wake up from that cyclical hibernation and you see, what can I create and manifest now that I've had a clear sleep moment? I can create music, I can create words, I can create thoughts, I can create love for my friends and family, I can create anything. I am an unlimited being of the now, not a limited being of the future or the past. The time is now, the power is you, and you must allow yourself to earn and experience the rites of passage. Earlier in my soliloquy, in the very beginning, I said, you've earned it already. Now you must give it to yourself. Have that victory celebration of everything that you did this last year. If you can't do it, that is your own lack of energy and how much tacit consent you're giving away to the system. You are the one that makes the choices. Let that really seep in. Let that really go in. And when it comes to the BRICS alliance or the next COBRA message or the next this message or that message, it's a transitory moment message. That's all that it is. Even this, what I'm presenting right now, is a transitory moment message. I am a different transitory moment message being from the moment that I started this to the moment that I finished it, because we are going moment to moment as multidimensional beings attached to the Akashic record that had a synopsis perceived before the show was even started. That is why these eyes and these words connect to so many people out there. You hear your own truth. You see your own wisdom. You make your own connections. I am not out there individually chess mastering each person into a thought, deception, or idea. You are coming into upon your own and solving your own paradoxes, your own mysteries, and creating new and wonderful questions that create abundance of creativity in yourself.
That is really very encouraging, Andrew, because it's so necessary for us to go into that aspect and attitude now. It's very important for us to go into that attitude and disconnect ourselves from all the fear base or other stuff that's going around the internet and really just focus on what we want and how we're going to disconnect ourselves from all that, and which will affect the whole planet. You know, if each individual does the work, it's going to make a great difference in the whole evolution of man. It's going to add to it.
Massive, massive evolutionary difference at the individual level that affects the mass scale of everything that who we are and what we are and what we'll go through. The sharing and quickening of the awakening experience is one of the greatest gifts we get as a human being coming at the end of this long, hard journey through paradox and through multidimensional expression that has made us the lowest common denominator of being, using our free will or not. When we get to share that celebration of ascension and once again show off the mystical things that we can do, and they no longer are a cult, but they are available to everyone. So everyone has an a la carte belief system that allows them to do telekinesis, aerokinesis, mass manifestation, healing, because they have that limited source of technological, spiritual connections in their crown chakra to the third eye.
And also the way when you mentioned at the beginning of 2015 when you were reading the timelines and you're saying that we're now disconnected, the energies are now separated from the control and the domination, and we have the choice now to become free sovereign beings. And in order to do that, we need to really work on on ourselves and bettering ourselves into getting ourselves into a mindset that we're not stuck in this system, that we have choices and that we can rise above it. And there's so many different ways that we can do it.
Exactly. There's an unlimited amount of ways that we can do it. But the ways that limit us from doing unlimited things occupy many of the architectural foundations of our culture and society in the way that we express. Our culture, society that prevent us from being multidimensional beings, like the banking system. Right there, that's hierarchical order right in your face that says it is this way. Another expression is the law system. It is, why is the justice blind? Why is the angel of justice blind? Why can it not see all sides of the story? Because it doesn't want to. Because it was blindfolded by a hierarchical order to do the wrong thing all the time and to only randomly do the right thing. And then spirituality and religion, each giving us a limited form of external belief or internal belief, but ultimately doesn't give us the full teachings of who we are because it can't, because it's based in hierarchical order. But all of those religions can acknowledge they are in hierarchical order and reverse engineer themselves so they're once again for the people. Even the Catholic Church and the Vatican can reverse engineer itself. It just needs to give up the criminals so that they are no longer doing criminal things with our light bodies, our spirit bodies, or our soul families. Take that power back. No longer give tacit consent to all dimensions, time streams, galaxies, and universes in which the archons determine how karma is going to affect you. Everything that happened in the paradox is now set in stone. Since August 2013, when I said the event started, and it will only end when everyone has come through the final part of the crucible of the mind and has been melded to the soul of the heart.
So we really have to follow our own heart and our own journey and not get caught up in all the domination and control stuff and all the stuff that's being put out there, but to focus on ourselves and our spirit and our growth, and to really put that forth and make that our important aim in life, and to, you know, totally be authentic and live in our heart space.
Absolutely. And we are authentic and live in our heart space. We can transit the different colors and expressions of time and be no time beings who can impress in a fraud time area no timeness. So when people come to catch this recording 2 weeks or 2 years from now, you're in the no time of this expression of fraud time the 2nd of February, I'm sorry, the 10th of February, 2015. And there may be somebody in 2032 who's going to see this for the first time and go, wow, that was a really different expression. He's wearing a hat and a red shirt today, and Debbie is over there. That's really a strange color of energy that's coming out of him. Oh, wait, what are these words that we hear all the time in our modern future society of 2032? Okay, there's color here. This is authentic expression, and authentic expression can be observed in the Akashic records at all times, easily.
So, Andrew, do we have time for another question from the chat?
Sure, we got probably time for one more question, yeah.
Okay, because this is a really good one. I think it's appropriate. A lot of people would like to know the answer to this one. And it's based on reading the Akashic records, were those civilizations that put themselves out of phase more successful than those who stayed in phase and tried to resolve the entanglement? And how does that relate to the separation of densities that is happening now?
That is a really, really good question. All right. So let me break it down. So based on the reading of the Akashic records, were those civilizations that put themselves out of phase of time more successful than those who stayed in phase? The answer is yes and no. There were certain societies that made the light body technology much better than some of the DNA technology that was transferred from lineage to lineage. So let's say something like the Minoan Society of Crete and the Temple of Knossos that was destroyed when Santorini exploded, they did not successful, though their history survived in other paradoxes and time strains because their physical technology had a way of impressing a awareness. Now, some of those other civilizations, like the highest Lemurians and the highest Atlanteans, they had already, after the first uncreational event and creational event, exported certain parts of their soul into a place that wouldn't be in a paradox. So they had a much better chance of integrating a soul shard that never experienced timeline genocide, so they could be much more in tune with technology that put them out of phase with fraud time. And now some of those ones that stayed in fraud time, that was their intention from the very beginning, and that is why you have a Masonic order, that is why you have a Knights of Malta, that's why you have a Vatican, so on and so forth. So with different expressions of those that chose, because ultimately they wanted to take power in a hierarchical order. And if they directly invested in creating that hierarchical order over millions of years, at the end of those millions of years, they would be at the peak, the apex of the hierarchical order, and have domination and control to do whatever they want. And so those that were much more passive figured out how to get past their own light body technology that brought them back into fraud out of phase time.
Well, you answered that really eloquently, Andrew, because that is a major question. And I'm sure a lot of us would really appreciate understanding that.
This is going to be one of those shows that a lot of people are going to go back to and go, wow, you were in the zone from the very beginning. Oh, I can say many, many, many shows, I'm in the zone from the very beginning. And there are times that I have to understand the potential of everyone that's listening live and in the future live, as well as the past live. Why? I'm trying to bring the greatest frequency of Akashic connection so that people on their own can get it and not have to rely on the hierarchical order of this being here now with the limitations of spirituality so that there aren't a couple Akashic record readers out doing it at the same skill level that I am. As I said in the beginning, I don't want to be the only one. I want there to be millions and millions of us, so that we can get to truth and perpetuity of our historical expression of who we are.
Well, that's beautiful, Andrew.
This year's a great year, and there's a whole lot of stuff and information to impart to people. There are going to be some things that come forward that are specific skill sets that are going to really help a lot of people. But for that to come, there has to be an understanding to it. So many of these teachings can be taken the wrong way, down the wrong avenue. I can't tell you how many people have made the mistake in telling their story to the fire, where they start arguing with a girlfriend or a boyfriend, and all of a sudden that ceremony becomes dirty, because that being in their heart has not defined what sacred space means. So when the mind whispers come, they once again get caught upon a tangent that takes them down into polarity. In ceremony, you cannot be in polarity. You are in that neutrality, so that the polarity, when it comes out of you, doesn't come out with vibrant, vicious stuff. It just comes out and is given to the fire and allowed to be with great mystery, and it doesn't return to you. That is, once again, removing that dense energy that clouds you with red time fraud experience. That ceremony you want to...
I notice, Andrew, when I've done, you know, sit in front of the fire, and it's such a cleansing, you know, when you give, when you talk, tell your story to the fire, and what, you know, it's a purification of your whole soul.
It can be, but then to others, it's just something you roast marshmallows by.
That's true.
Okay? It's just something you roast marshmallows by. When you make and define sacred rules of sacred space on your own, it is your own honor of those rules that ultimately determine if you're a spiritual being or not. That's why it's important to acknowledge your victories. That's why it's important to acknowledge your new abilities that come through ceremony. It's important for you to have that fire medicine, that passion, that spontaneity that tells you you can be self-reliant at all time, that says you can dance in the sun and let that energy fill you from the tips of your fingers to the tips of your toes, so that the rhythm and timing that is the internal you is not limited by those external co-creating forces that are taking the original source of great mystery and co-creating with something that isn't yours. When you choose have that hour of self-power as a ritual ceremonial expression, you get back into being you. And that becomes a ritual of joy that opens you up to the roots and giving of the world, your own roots and how you give to the world and how the world gives and exchanges to you in truth and perpetuity. We allow those sacred paces to be our earth connection, to be our empowerment, to be the embodiment of the Akashics that we are experiencing in the now past, now present, and now future. And the now past, present, and future ultimately must acknowledge you had an inner child in this lifetime and every other past and every other future lifetime. And it is that innocent and inner child that gets you to that infinite manifestation moment, where you're your child in the sandbox, you're making your sandcastle, and nothing's stopping you. That metaphor translates even to manifesting healing on human beings. That innocence and inner child has its own layer of great and powerful protection that allows the self-expression of the adult human who has gone through the rites of passage, given themselves their victory ceremonies, and allowed the nurturing of their own soul through the oceans and the winds and the seas and the stars and the great thunder beings who come down and give lightning and show so you don't watch television. That usable energy from the lightning converts into our spirit and allows us to see the great humor and opposition that is in our world. Because we are the greatest destructors and detractors of ourselves. And we must be willing to laugh at our own self-destructive things, so that we can take the fear away from them. And once we take the fear away, we go through what's called the shaman's death. We were let go of those signature frequencies that attract karmic retribution to us, where we no longer have to have the lessons that come when you don't want them. They come when you expect them, because you have commanded them to come, because you are a manifesting, co-created being who is allowed rebirth through the moment-to-moment I am self-present that's living in the now, who has their own viewpoints and options clearly expressed in sacred space defined, not exchanging dirty energy underwear, acknowledging the seven future generations, and knowing that responsibility is the ability to respond. And the ability to respond is ultimately how we give away to others. Do we give our greatest heart joy, or do we give a little nugget of ice that pissed us off for the last year to the person that cut us off in the car? That is your giveaway ceremony each and every day. Your honest, authentic, expressed self at all times, saying to the universe, we love you in all of your forms, expressions, dimensions, time streams. When we get to that moment, we return home to the self, the authentic self, and we need not have to have long versions of expression that gets us there. The fields of plenty are already there. The manifestation of who we are and what we are is easy. And the colors of the whirling rainbow and the rainbow warriors are everywhere. We simply have to acknowledge the color of the rainbow and allow it to show us unity and wholeness achieved. So the dream time is not fraud time, and fraud time is not confused as dream time, and the perception deception filters that define time as dream or non-dream begin to end, and the veils of separation fall down, and we allow ourselves once again to be the authentic selves we are now.
Beautiful, Andrew, and thank you so much, because that is so inspiring.
Thank you.
It really is.
This has been a really, really special show, and I want to thank everyone that's been a part of this. We are going to have another super exciting show. Make sure you check up on the events calendar at thegalactichistorian.com. For those that are listening live at galactichistorian.com/live, check out our website. We're going to have a whole bunch of new and exciting things coming up. Thanks a lot, Debbie. We're going to end the show for today. Take us away, Kat.
Thank you, Andrew.